As you know, or should know, we've been going through the book of Hebrews. In fact, we are in Hebrews, actually chapter 13 right now, the last chapter of the book, which means, yes, we will be starting a new study very shortly. I'm already working on it. Probably, I'm estimating as I look ahead, probably in February, we will start another book study. Hebrews 13, if you've turned there now, follow along as I read. Hebrews 13, 1 through 6. Let the love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what will man do to me? May the Lord God add his blessing to the reading of his word. New year is here. As you know, I did not make any resolutions. In fact, I don't make any resolutions or set any new goals for 2023 because I know before February comes, I will have broken all of the goals and all of the rules. And so it's probably true with you too and most people, obviously, that do that. Very few, only the most disciplined actually keep their goals and their resolutions. It's not only a time where we make goals and resolutions, it's a time where we seem to be saturated with people making predictions of what's going to happen in the new year. I do not know what's going to happen in the new year, but I have been reading accounts of people who are making, as I would say, speculations and projections. Some of them are educated guesses of what might happen. There are some people who I have seen on the TV and on the internet who are making predictions about Jesus and when he'll be back. I don't know when Jesus will be back. I certainly hope that it'll be soon. In fact, he could come right now before I finish this message and I will be overjoyed. And hopefully all of us would be too. But there are some people, even who claim to be Christians, and I say they claim to be Christians, but they're making outward statements that are false. As you know, as I watched one just two nights ago, a lady who was claiming to have spoken with the Lord, or the Lord spoke with her, and she was making all these predictions. And I was thinking, you know, I don't know if she was self-deceived, because clearly, if we trust Scripture, God did not say to her what she was saying to us or her viewers for 2023. Either that or he contradicted himself in the Bible as such. But why do we do that? It's like not true. There's so many of them. Actually, if we had followed the Scriptures, they would be dead. Well, truly, if this woman I just saw, well, I don't know if she actually made a statement that she made a statement the Lord said it to her, and it was in a general format. But there are some who have made specific statements about what Jesus told them would happen, and it did not happen. And it did not happen. They should have been taken out and stoned, executed. They shouldn't have been given an opportunity to make another prophecy. because they've done that. I've seen them do that. Oh, well, that didn't happen. Well, the Lord changed his mind in 7 days or 30 days. And hey, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says this. If you make a prediction or a prophecy or a statement saying you are my messenger and you are representing me, then it better be right. And if it is not, you are to be dead. That is, we are supposed to take that person out. Everybody who is a Christian is to take them out and stone them to death because they lied, because they didn't speak in the name of the Lord. And just to tell you, I'll read it. Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. Must. That's not optional. Did we overlook that? And yet, we hear it all the time. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm not a prophet. God did not tell me this personally. But I'm going to make a prediction for you. If you are a Christian and if you are born again, this is true for you and for me. I'm making a statement, and I can say that unequivocally, that it's true. And God has said to you next year that I will never leave you nor forsake you. God will never desert you. If your name is written down in his book, when you leave this building, God is still with you, and we need to remember that. And I'll state it again, Hebrews 13:5, since we're going through Hebrews. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Now, if you are a serious student of Scripture, because God said it, it's true, and God always keeps his word. What I just read to you in Hebrews is actually in quotation marks. Now, what does that mean? If it's in quotation marks in the text, it means that they're quoting it, that God already said it. So God already said in other places in Scripture, which the writer to the Hebrews who are receiving this had already promised this. He already stated it. So this isn't the first time God said it. So you go back and you look and see, well, where did God say this previously? Genesis 28:15. God speaking to Abraham, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. So Abraham got the promise to him, but also to the country or the nation of Israel. That's why we better be pro-Israel. I don't know everything they do over there as a government I agree with, but one thing, we as a country and I as an individual am always going to support Israel. Israel is God's people. And God said, those who bless Israel, I will bless, and those who curse them, I will curse. So pray for our country that we will always, always be pro-Israel. Do not ever forsake or desert Israel. Again, Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you, and I will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So as God's people, God has promised the nation of Israel, you're going to be winners because I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, we have not as a country, to be honest, have that promise. The United States never got that promise from God. God didn't say to us when we were forming our nation, I'm with you and I'll be with you. Now, I'm certain that because of our faith, historically, God has blessed our country. But he didn't come outwardly and say in Scripture, I'm going to bless the United States. And by the way, if you follow it historically, even though God doesn't leave you nor forsake you, he does discipline you and he does punish you and he does send difficulty when you disobey. Israel knows that from the Old Testament. But this again is what God said to them in Joshua. No one, saying this to Joshua, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua 1:5. Now, that is a true statement, and God, and then the writer to the Hebrews is quoting it in the New Testament, applying it to the church, to these Jewish believers who are being persecuted because they're having a hard and difficult time. And he wanted to remind them and encourage them, just as I do to you and believers today, that if you are a believer, God never leaves you nor forsakes you. Then why do we get all messed up thinking, wait, why did God leave me? Why did God allow this? Why did God do that? Now, I'm going to tell you what Scripture says. God never, we think, if God's with me, I'm always going to come up roses. I'm going to get everything I want. I'm always going to be a winner. I will never have any difficulty. I will never have any pain. I will never have any sickness. I will never have any back talk from my children. I will never be in a difficult strait. Now, I know that because there are some Christians who have told me that. And somewhere along the line, they have become confused. There are denominations out there who are so confused they think, as Christians, you can't get sick. Well, believe me, Christians get sick and Christians die of disease and illness and epidemics just like non-Christians. God never said to us, I will keep you 100% healthy, wealthy, and affluent. He never said that. But he actually said to us, actually, you will have trouble in the world. He said, and I'll quote again from the New Testament, from John, I have told you these things that in me, so that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now the world is under a curse. You realize that. The environment has been cursed, and I'm not talking about climate change. I'm talking about sin. Because God cursed our world because Adam and Eve disobeyed, and from the garden, God spoke a curse upon this environment, and we're living in a cursed environment. And in that environment, we have trouble. We have predators. We have viruses. We have bacteria. We have floods. We have droughts. We have famines. We have issues that are serious for us, and our enemy, the devil, is walking around like, prowling around like a roaring lion, looking to devour us. He wants to hinder us from doing what God said. Now, the point is this. Jesus says, when you are on, well, let's use something that we can relate to. Let's say you have a loved one that has cancer and is taking chemo and radiation, because I've been there with those people. It is not pleasant to have chemo and radiation. And in fact, the human body, once they get it, some people say the side effects are so bad, they wish they never even took it because of the pain and the nausea and the hurt that they're undergoing to kill the cancer. Jesus is there with them. He didn't leave them. Remember that. And they need to remember that. God is on that bed of affliction with them because God keeps His word. And whether it's in an emergency room, whether it's when they're in battle, if they're in the military, God never leaves them nor forsakes them. He's right there in the midst of it. He's there with them, and He's there with you. He has never forsaken you. Now, it's hard for us to imagine and say, well, Lord, why did you allow? I don't know. God didn't tell me why, because He didn't speak to me, and I wouldn't be presumptuous as to give Him an answer. But I would say this, God did promise to be with Him, and that's absolutely true. And His presence is right there. If you can't sense it, it's not because He's not there. It's because you've turned your back to Him for a while there. But it doesn't mean everything in your life is going to come up roses. I've read some verses to you where God promised the nation, Moses and Joshua and Israel, that He was going to be there for them. Starting with, well, let's just think of Joseph. Now, Joseph, God said, I'm with you. And then what happened when God was with Joseph? Well, first of all, his brothers got jealous of him, threw him into a pit, and then sold him into slavery in Egypt. Then he got falsely accused and thrown into prison in Egypt. I mean, he really had it hard. I don't know if any of you have ever been in jail, but it's tough being in jail. It's not pleasant. And yet God was there with him in the jail. And also when he took him out of the jail and blessed him, God was with him. So not everything that he had, because, and this is when Joseph was in jail and imprisoned, if you read it in Genesis, check it out, 39:2, 39:3, 5, 21, and 23. In all those verses, when Joseph was hurting, the scriptures actually say, the Lord was with Joseph. So in that case, God never deserted him, left him, or forsook him. And we can look there through other people in the Old Testament that God blessed. David was in hard times. You know, think, hey, David was king. And while David was king, but he did, when Saul was jealous and out pursuing him, he was on the run with his men, hiding out. That was not comfortable. And not pleasant, yet it says God was with him. And we can see that during those times, that God was always with David. And even on those times, it says when David was on the run, we line it up in a study there. And that's when he wrote some of the Psalms that we like to take comfort in today and quote and sing. David wrote them while he was being pursued and was in difficulty and in trouble. And not only that, and we're studying Esther in Sunday school, and God protected her, but she had it hard there too, and her life was, in a sense, at risk. She didn't know, but God said, I'm with you and with my people. He was with Daniel. He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So we know if you are a Christian this morning, and I want to underscore that, if you are a Christian this morning, God is with you. And He never leaves you. He doesn't opt out and doesn't go on vacation. God is with you all the time, and He's there for you. And and the writer to the Hebrews is telling them that to encourage them. And I want to encourage you. January 1st, 2023, I hope you're encouraged that you know now that the Bible says Jesus is with you. He doesn't say everything will be coming up roses. He says no matter what you encounter in this life, no matter what kind of pain, no matter what kind of loss, I'm with you. I'm with you. take comfort in that. Take joy in that. Because I'm going to be honest, some of you may encounter rocky roads in 2023. I don't know. Now, notice this, and I was reading this, Adam Clark, he is an old-time commentator, but he says this about this verse. He says, in this verse it says, no, he's speaking about the negatives in the sentence in the original. He says, in the original it says, no, I will not leave you, no, neither will I not utterly forsake you. He uses five negatives. The point he is making, English grammar, it's not Greek grammar, English grammar, if you use two negatives, we can always learn that from our days learning grammar maybe, that two negatives make a positive, right? Two, and here you got five negatives in one cotton-picking sentence. But we would say, well, is that positive or what are we doing here? That's English grammar. So don't get confused because this was written in Greek, what we call Koine Greek. And in Koine Greek, the more negatives you put in one sentence does not, two negatives in a Greek sentence doesn't make it a positive. If you put two negatives in a Greek sentence, you make it more emphatically negative. So it would be like saying, no, 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 no. You are making it super, super emphatic. Underscore it as best you can. And so what he is trying to say is, I'm always with you. I will never leave you under any circumstances. And he's writing it in such a way in the original language to say, I'm always there. You can't even get out of it yourself, as some people might say, because God, you cannot hide from God. You cannot run from God. He's there with you. If you are a believer, God is with you. So, and then you're in his family. And so the writer to the Hebrews is trying to encourage them because they're going through persecution. And you might be going through some difficulty in your lifetime. God is still with you. Never will he leave you. Now, as we read in the first six verses there, he's giving us some short, concise, succinct commands, things we should be doing. We should be loving one another. So hopefully as believers, and I commend you, I suspect I don't know in the sense I'm not talking romantic love, I'm talking agape love. We all love one another. We are here for each other. And I hope you know that that's not only why we have a prayer chain, that's why we visit you and call you and pray for you, because we love each other. Not necessarily approve of all that you do, but we do love you. Like in our family, we love our kids. Doesn't matter that we don't always approve them, we always love them. So as believers and a part of the fellowship here, we love you and we want you to love one another. So in a sense, I always want you to feel love here and know that you are accepted and you are loved. That's what the scriptures tell us we should do. And it does tell us that we should be good to strangers, which means that we don't make distinctions upon people. Anybody who comes in here, we will do our best for them that we can do for them, because we want to demonstrate the love of God. And he says, sometimes by doing that, you have entertained angels unawares. Because, you know, God might test you and send an angel into church and see how you treat him. So be careful. You might be entertaining an angel there. And then he talks about prisoners. And I suspect in this context, he's talking about the believers who got tossed into prison. Make sure you go and encourage them also and be there for them. Then he talks about, because they live in a culture that's perverted and corrupted and immoral, he says, honor your marriage vows, be faithful. And then he tells us again, which we'll look at, don't love money. That is because it can corrupt you. And so he says, and be content. So God tells us these things. And he says, when we do all these things and are representing him, remember God's always there with you too. So God will never leave you nor forsake you. So why would you, you might get down. I'm trying to encourage you. Hey, remember, God is with you. He never forsook you. You went through a difficult time. Yeah, you did. Maybe you even lost a loved one. And you went to the cemetery and you held the service for them. And you feel so, so alone and lost. You can't even express it. Listen, you weren't alone. God was there with you. And God feels your pain. And God says and reminds you, I'm still there with you. I didn't leave you. So remember that. I want to encourage you on this new year, as we start this new year, that as believers, I want to remind you, because I look around the world and just like you, I look around and I say, boy, Lord, I know things are worse in other places in the world and my country needs to improve too. But one thing I'm encouraged is that God never leaves me nor forsakes me. And even though I don't like what's happening in our country, I'm just passing through and I want to do my best for you. And thank you, Lord, for walking with me, because he is walking with me. And I want to encourage you, if you are a believer, on this first day of the new year, Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's just stand and close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this marvelous promise. May we all sense your presence. And Lord, when we go through those valleys, those difficult situations, those painful events, Lord, may we especially feel your touch and your hand. In Jesus' name, amen.